Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to this week's episode of Big Banter. Corey, how you doing today?
Oh boy, I'm stuffed up. We're in allergy season now.
Yeah, fall allergies are real, and they are rampant. I think my wife's been going through fall allergies for about a month now, so there's something.
At what point is it like it's fall?
You're just sick?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I don't know when you cross that line into just, I'm just sick. Like, you can't blame it on allergies anymore. That's such a great question. All right, folks, listen, we've got a jam-packed episode for you today. Obviously, we're going to have the picks later on in the episode, but we're going to try something a little bit new to start things off. And Colin Cowherd does a segment called Where Colin Was Right and Where Colin Was Wrong. And I really like the premise. I really like the idea. I wanted to implement it in a unique way for us. So what we're going to do, we're going to give you one where we were right, Big Ten oriented, and one where we were wrong, Big Ten oriented. And then we're going to do one each for just general college football. Corey, are you ready?
I'm more ready than I've ever been in my entire life.
All right. Well, we're going to kick it off with the Big Ten segment. We'll start off with where Ethan was wrong, Big Ten.
I like and actually, where I, this is actually my favorite segment now.
Oh, okay. All right. I see. I figured if I started off with where I was wrong, then you could just, you know, kind of rag on me a little bit and it'd make the show funner.
It's my favorite part.
So my where Ethan was wrong, Big Ten edition, it's got to be Illinois. I didn't see this. I mean, Brett Bielema has that team humming. They're ranked inside the top 10. And honestly, I don't know where else you could put them. That team is just zipping right now. Obviously, a huge clash this weekend coming up with Indiana at Indiana. That game is going to be huge for both of those programs. I won't dive into that aspect of it just yet, but I was just flat wrong on Illinois.
Yeah, I think it comes down to Luke Altmyer at quarterback as well. Like, when he transferred to Illinois a couple years ago, like, he was a bum. Last year, he started to play a little bit better. But
he was so turnover prone.
Correct. But now it seems like he's fixed that a little bit. And with the influx, Bielema knows how to coach. I think in the four,
no doubt,
in the 4 years of this podcast's existence, I've been super critical of Brett Bielema, but also outside of, at the time, it was James Franklin and Ryan Day. He was the only other active Big Ten coach to have won the Big Ten title, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Wisconsin was wishing they could have him back right about now.
And I think this is fueled strictly from Brett Bielema's distaste for Wisconsin, because it's like, oh, look what you could have had.
Yeah, exactly.
You could have had me, and now I'm taking Illinois, of all teams, to the top 10, which is...
And I'll take it a step further. When we started doing this podcast, I viewed Northwestern and Illinois in the same light. And now, those two programs could not be further apart. I mean, it is truly incredible what he has done. And listen, Illinois's got some money, okay? It's in a really ritzy area. A lot of wealthy people have gone there. If NIL is going to become a part of things, and Brett Bielema is going to, you know, do things like what he's doing the past couple of years, I'm just saying, Illinois has a chance to implement themselves as somebody who could compete in the Big Ten, you know, every third year or something like that, get a really senior-laden team, get some good transfers in there. And hey, if he can keep coaching kids up to play like Luke Altmyer have. I mean, sky's the limit.
I agree. And it just, again, echoes to the fact that Rep Bielema is a great coach, and that's why he's been around for so long. All right, people. My where I was wrong in the Big Ten, I don't think I actually vocalized this, but I think I said this once or twice. I did not believe in Maryland at all. And now this is, say with a caveat, because this is what Maryland
I
does.
Do think you said it on the opening episode of the podcast.
Yeah. I say I wouldn't I haven't vocalized it that much. But I thought Maryland was just going to be absolutely terrible, especially after Billy Edwards transferred out in the off season, because like he seemed to be the heir apparent to take over for Tualila. That's been a year. Wow, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I was so wrong on Maryland that I don't even know who was playing at quarterback. And I think we've all been really critical of Mike Locksley as well. But what the guy does is he has some consistency and stability to that program, where they may not be the team that's going to turn the corner, but you know exactly what you're going to get from them. They're like the Iowa light of the Big Ten, in the sense that Iowa goes like 8-4 every year inexplicably. But it seems like Locksley is showing why he's been employed at Maryland for so long, because what they're
well, and you right look now. At you look at what Malik Washington has been able to do in that system thus far, and coming in as a transfer, really overlooked as a transfer. I don't think anybody really, you know, was, oh my gosh, you got to watch out for Malik Washington. He's completing 62% of his passes. He's got 145 passer rating. He's throwing for 260 yards a game. And then the big thing for me, touchdowns to interceptions, 6-1. He's only thrown one pick the entire year. He's controlling the ball. He's accurate. And he's got the ability to move in the pocket as well. You know, he's got the ability to move around, use his feet. It's become a weapon for them. Maryland, Illinois, not on the same level.
No, not at all.
Let's make that very clear. But I would definitely say that Maryland has surprised, and Locksley has in large part saved his job. I mean, he was on the precipice. All right, moving over to where we were right. And Corey, I'm actually going to let you start. Oh, you want me to do it? Okay. All right. We'll bounce back and forth. So we're going to switch over to where Ethan was right. I think Penn State's the best team in this conference, and I'm not sure it's particularly close. Listen, what Dan Lanning's got going on over at Oregon, I understand those guys are playing fantastic. They're scoring a lot of points. You know, it looks like they have figured out how to, you know, transition with Moore at quarterback. He has played very, very well. Not super great this last game, but all in all, they have played extraordinarily well. I still believe this has to be the year for James Franklin and Penn State. That team looks like a juggernaut. I watch them play football, and it just looks like a ton of NFL dudes out on the field. And granted, they haven't played anybody yet, I understand, but this is what you are supposed to do to those types of opponents, and they've done it week in and week out thus far.
I'm referring to something that I said a couple weeks ago. It's like, we're going to see Penn State do this thing where, because the competition isn't up to par or up to that caliber, they're going to play with their food for a little bit. I think you saw that in the first few weeks here with their non-conference opponents. I think they struggled most recently this past weekend in the first half, but like, the game was never in question, just given how talented they are on both sides of the ball. Ethan, We're going to be in the spot going back and forth until they do it, until they beat the Oregons, until they beat the Ohio States. Then, you know, I'm not going to be convinced.
I understand that. I understand that. Just a quick look ahead spot here. Obviously, you know, we're focused on this week. Next week, okay, Penn State has a bye. Next week, they play Oregon at home. They are already 6.5 point favorites in that game. Listen, that is Vegas telling you something. That's Vegas saying, if you saw that, what would Uncle Ethan tell you about that spread? What is Vegas begging you to do?
They are begging you to take Oregon.
That is correct. They are saying, please, please, please take your money and put it on Oregon so we can collect it at the end of the game. So
that's a lot of faith. Of NFL guys. That's a lot of faith. I
understand. And listen, if I get proved wrong, we'll make a segment called Where Ethan Was Wrong and Where Ethan Was Wronger.
Yeah.
And we'll do that. Okay. Yeah, fair enough.
I'm ready for it because then where Corey was right is the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah.
I said it from the beginning of the year. I said it last week and I'm saying it again. This team has come into the Big Ten and done nothing but win. Nothing but win. They have not lost a regular season Big Ten
game. Except in the playoff.
They have not lost a regular season Big Ten game since they've been, now, albeit it's been a year. But they have not they haven't lost a regular season game since they've been in the Big Ten, which is a crazy stat to think about. Now, and I will give you this perspective. They had in their non-conference, they had one Power Four opponent, and then they have a old rival, so a Washington State in the Apple Cup. So it's not like their non-con is the weakest of them all, and Oklahoma State is not very good, but you had them come to Eugene, and you pumped them by 60 points. This isn't an Akron. This isn't a Eastern Michigan. This isn't a Central Michigan. This is Oklahoma State, coached by Mike Gundy, and you embarrassed.
Mike Gundy's getting fired.
He is. He's going to get fired.
That program has nothing left.
He's going to get fired.
So excuse me for saying they're not very good.
Okay, they're not.
But yes, I agree with the point that you're making.
You put Oklahoma State on the field with Eastern or Central Michigan, who wins that game?
Point taken.
Okay, so there you go. And Oregon beat that team by 60 points. And then I watched a little bit of the Northwestern Oregon game as our only Big Ten matchup of the weekend. Northwestern is notorious for like just mucking it up and pulling a greasy, just disgusting win that they shouldn't get out of their season, but they do every year. And in that first drive of the game that they had, it took like 9 minutes.
I think it was a 10-minute drive that resulted in an interception.
A 10-minute drive that resulted in an interception where Oregon scored immediately. So
yeah,
you went on the road, not in the most hostile environment, but you played a Northwestern team, and they were dominating the line of scrimmage. They were throwing trick plays, and it's like, doesn't matter. We're just going to take this ball, and we're going to score, and we're going to win this game. I believe they covered, too, I think. Oh, no, the Northwestern got the backdoor cover. Okay, whoops.
Yes.
Sorry about it. But that game was never in question at all.
No.
Now they're going to get a rivalry game win because Washington State is terrible, and
they're 35.5 point favorites in that game.
All this team does is win and win.
No, you said Washington State. You mean Oregon State.
Oregon State. Yeah, excuse me. And the Apple Cup is Washington.
Also this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apple Cup is Washington, Washington State.
All right, so we're gonna transition right into our overall, and we'll be quicker with these ones. I want to start with you where Corey was right. Give me your
That's what I said.
Overall.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. For your overall.
Sorry, new segment, guys.
Football.
I'm learning.
I'm trying to learn.
I would say that I was right about LSU, especially after that first week against Clemson. I think there are some question marks about both of those teams, especially since LSU's offense has taken the step backwards this year. But when you win football games, and you win football games in tough environments, in tough competition, then that doesn't matter. Nussmeier needs to get it going a little bit more. But you go into Clemson and you pull off a victory in the opening week, something that Brian Kelly has not done at LSU. Literally has not done at all.
And it was against a ranked opponent who is perceived to be better than them.
Correct.
Correct. More on Clemson in just a moment.
Da, 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 da. But yeah, I think what a lot of people were saying about LSU in the beginning of the year as the SEC title contender or the odds-on favorite to win the SEC is true, because you've seen them take care of business in the games that, number one, you want them to take care of business, but they're expected to take care of business as well. And
Yeah.
then, as much as he's kind of annoying, I really do think Brian Kelly is a good coach. He's been a
Yeah.
winner wherever he's been at, you know, see Grand Valley State, see Notre Dame, and now look at LSU as well. And I mean, he turned that program, albeit, you know, how much work do you need to turn LSU around coming off of a.
Well, and it was getting stagnant in Notre Dame for sure. Time for him to move on. One quick thing on LSU offense. Got to get things clicking on offense because that team has national title aspirations. Okay. I'm not talking about them like they're, Michigan State and Aiden Childs and, oh, we need to progress and he needs to get better week to week. No, that team's trying to win a championship. Offense has to play
I
better.
agree.
But I agree. I think you nailed LSU. I'm going to talk about the team that they beat week one, where Ethan was right. Clemson sucks. And I asked the two of you in the first episode that we did this year, when did Clemson magically become the favorite to win the championship? Did I miss something? Did Cade Klubnik go to heaven and get an arm from Jesus during the off season?
Oh my
I was
gosh.
I was so confused by all the Clemson love preseason. I was off that train. I'm off the Dabo train. I'm off the Clemson train. That program has fallen into mediocrity. And listen, I know you and Alex aren't there yet. There's lots of talk coming out of Clemson about Dabo. And he is, say what you want about him. Did he win a natty? Yes. And two, correct. Say what you want. There is something to be said when things grow stale that it just becomes real hard to keep on the palate. And things feel like they're getting awfully stale in Clemson awfully quick. And I'm telling you, that team, something ain't right. It's not right. And I mean, two games, you can't lose that game to Georgia Tech. You can't. You cannot lose that game. And yet they did.
Okay, but shout out Haynes King. That guy might be the most fun quarterback to
Oh.
watch in the country because he's like, I don't.
He's like, hey, oh, I don't need my arm. You could take my arm off.
I'm like 130 pounds soaking wet, but I'm just like leading with the helmet into the pile, and he looks like he gets. I think somebody said he looks like he's gotten in a car crash every single game that he plays, and America loves him.
Yeah, I think that's because his injuries probably would show that he has been in several car accidents.
And their arch rival is Georgia, and they tend to not do well behind the wheel of a vehicle. So, you know, hey,
Oof. Oof. Hey, shots fired.
shots fired deep. All right,
Oh.
I guess I'll take where Corey was wrong at the grand scale. I don't think
I hope we don't have the same one
no,
because we didn't talk about this prior. I hope we don't have the same one.
mine's a bit of a cop out. But it's Kansas State and the state of the Big 12. I honestly thought like everybody was pushing the Big 10, the SEC as like these like, oh yeah, this is where the cream
You
of the
were high
crop.
on K-State. You were high on
I was high
K-State.
on K-State. I was high on Avery Johnson. I thought he was going to take a step forward. No, he is not. And if anything, he is just staring down one receiver and trying to yuck it. Or tuck it and run. Yuck or tuck. is what his MO has been thus far. And honestly, you look at some of the teams, Iowa State, you look at Arizona State, especially from last year too. You look at what I thought to be Kansas State, and maybe even TCU at times, or Colorado, especially getting Caden Salter from Liberty. Like, you thought maybe this is a conference that could make some noise and steal some bid. No, absolutely not. You're going to get one bid. Whoever comes out as the champion of the Big 12 is going to get that college football playoff bid. And unless chaos ensues, Colorado already has two losses. Kansas State is lost. Iowa State looks like the front runner, but if there's anything that we have known or have learned from the past few years of Big 12 football, if you think you know, you do not, because it will switch and change in an instant.
Iowa State eye test tells you Iowa State's the best team in that conference and currently not very close. But yes, things do tend to get quite wild
They
in that
just
conference. So I
chew
will,
themselves up in
to
conference play.
smithereens, kind of feels like the SEC's doing that a little bit this year. And I can't wait until they go to a nine game
Yeah, but it is
conference
also a
schedule.
narrative
It's going to be
thing
great.
as well.
For sure. No doubt. All right. Where Ethan was wrong, and this is just, you want to talk about crash and burn. This is crash and burn. Florida. I thought preseason Florida, top 10 team, Lagway, Heisman Trophy candidate. Wow. I couldn't have been more wrong. And he is regressed substantially from the spurt that he had down the stretch last year. You can't have a five interception game. I mean, if he throws three interceptions in that game, they might have won. I mean, if he cuts two of those off, they might have won. Just absolute ducks he was throwing up. It was hard to watch. And look, I mean, maybe if they can find a way to stop shooting themselves in the foot, they'll win a couple of these games. They're only 7.5 point underdogs on the road at Miami, which seems crazy. But I you know what? I look at that team and that schedule. Their schedule doesn't get any easier. It is absolutely brutal. They play everybody who you would be like, oh, can we avoid them? No, they play them. And they've already played two very, very tough opponents. Florida, there is a very good chance that Florida goes like 7-5, or God forbid, six and
I think that's
six.
generous. I think they have a
Yeah.
losing record.
Oh, my word. Corey, they got to win some of these games.
No, I think they'll win some, but I mean, let's take a quick look at the schedule. Like, that's all you really need to do. And Billy Napier was already on the hot seat, and then especially with the USF loss, like it's like they sent out a letter being like, "Hey, Billy's our guy." And it's like, well, yeah,
Yeah.
you can't fire your coach midseason, cough, cough, Virginia Tech, cough, cough, UCLA, because then you open the door to the transfer portal, and it looks a lot different from a UCLA and Virginia Tech roster than it does with a Florida roster, because that roster still is talented despite
Yeah.
what is happening there.
Well, listen, we're not going to run down Florida's whole schedule. We got to move
No,
along.
I think we well,
But
okay, I have it right here. So
okay.
Miami on the road, Texas at home, A&M on the road.
They'll beat Texas at home.
You think so?
Texas is bad.
Okay.
Arch Manning's hurt. Arch Manning's hurt. Something's not right there. That team's going to lose four games.
Okay, A&M on the road. Mississippi State at home. You would think that they would win that game,
Win.
but Mississippi State is playing really well. Georgia at home.
Oof.
Kentucky at Kentucky.
Win.
They go to Ole Miss.
Oh, they could win that game. You know what?
No. No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
They host Tennessee.
Oh my gosh, the schedule's so
And
awful.
then they host Florida State. They play one, two, three, four, five, six, seven ranked opponents the rest of the way, currently. And that's not including a 3-0 Mississippi State team, which if they win one more game, they might be a ranked team as well.
Lord have mercy, you might be right. Florida might not make a bowl game. All right. Well, moving along. All right, listen. Do you have a takeaway from last week, something that we haven't talked about yet? Do you have something inside the Big Ten, big-time takeaway from last week's slate? We're not going to dive into everything. Just something, give me 30 seconds, something that you took away from this past week.
I don't know. Oh, well, we talked about UCLA a little bit. I don't know what's going to happen with that program, because even the talking heads, and this has been a discussion that we've had every so often, UCLA still at an athletic department deficit currently in the current day. And this is with a basketball program, both men's and women's, who have been very, very good, very, very competitive. People are saying that this program could be like dead for a long, like Indiana levels of dead for a long time. You play in a mostly empty Rose Bowl stadium. I mean, like that is the most beautiful stadium in America, and you play your home games there, and you can't even fill it up to half capacity for that team.
Yeah, really. And I mean, the Big Ten could not have picked a worse time to pick up a team like that, because never did I think I would say I'm more happy that we have Maryland in our conference than I am UCLA. But I am. So here we are. Absolutely great point. You stole my thunder. That's 100% what I was going to say, but you said everything that needed to be. So I will switch. I will pivot to Wisconsin. Luke Fickell. I mean, he's not on a hot seat. He's gone. He's a dead man walking. And you know what? I'm not even sure the whole transfer portal argument stands for Wisconsin. They don't have talent. That team is devoid of coaching and talent. So I don't know. And did Alabama look good? Yeah, Alabama, you know, got right against them, whatever you want to say. That game was a slaughter from the word go. I mean, Wisconsin's two touchdowns were both in the second half, both after the game was well out of reach. Well out of reach. And I mean, one was a kick return touchdown. So their offense scored once. It's brutal. They're hard to watch. Luke Fickell gone. I mean, they can't wait the whole year. They can't wait the whole season.
I mean, I don't know what you're going to do, truly. And this, you know, it's crazy. They're 2-1. It's not like they're 0-3 or 1-2. I mean, you win four more games, which, you know, is possible. And albeit that is a very low expectation for Wisconsin football, or at least Wisconsin football as we know it. I mean, they're a bowl team, which doesn't really mean much, but still, like the fact
that Wisconsin is somehow 10.5 point favorites against Maryland this week.
Well, I think I know what you and I are taking.
You got that right, brother.
You got it.
Perfect segue into moving into previewing this upcoming week. A lot of really good games. I mean, it's more of like you kind of find the matchups type of week, because not every team is going to have a number next to their name. I think people get really caught up on the whole ranked matchup thing, but overall the slate, I mean, you've got Michigan, Nebraska, at Nebraska, game starts at 3:30. That game is going to end under the lights. Most likely that's going to be a great game. You've got Illinois, Indiana. That is a ranked matchup. Super stoked about that game. Let's dive into what I think are the two biggest games in the Big Ten, in Michigan and Nebraska and Illinois, Indiana. Just give me your, you know what? I'll shoot over Michigan, Nebraska to you first. Michigan is a 2.5 point favorite in that game. Where are you mindset wise? Obviously, as a Michigan fan, it's a little bit different. Where are you mindset wise with that game overall?
I think this is the ultimate litmus test of where this team can go throughout the rest of the year. Michigan does have a favorable schedule. They gain another ranked opponent as it stands right now in USC, which they'll travel to later in the year. But you have a Nebraska team that is on the up and up, and probably the most competitive and complete Nebraska team that you've played in recent years. And Michigan, I believe, has a, I think it's a 5-game winning streak against Nebraska, stemming back into the Harbaugh eras. And
Am I wrong to say that this is more of a referendum game for Nebraska than it is Michigan? Michigan just won a national championship 2 years ago. True freshman starting quarterback, a team that you don't think is really going to make a run at anything significant for, another year or two.
I don't.
Nebraska really needs to make a stand as like, I mean, look, they're 3-0. Raiola's had a full year in the system. He needs to show more progression. Where are we with Matt Rhule? Look, they're a 3-0 team, but they still don't have a number next to their name for a reason. There's nothing about that team that has screamed, this team's going to be really good. I think this is a bigger game for Nebraska than it is for Michigan. Overall, program wise, as far as, big picture outlook goes.
I mean, you could be right, but still, I think Raiola is still another year away, which is crazy to think about because you're having a true freshman quarterback. You're already talking about him like, oh, he's making leaps and bounds. But this is no ordinary true freshman 5-star quarterback. This is like the guy or the quarterback messiah post JJ McCarthy. I think,
He can part water
yeah, he can.
without looking at
He
it.
can. That's what I've heard. That's on the chat rooms, message boards. I for whatever reason, Matt Rhule has taken more time at Nebraska than any other spot. I mean, it seemed like he flipped around Baylor overnight. Like it was like they were two.
It's almost like playing in the Big Ten is a little more difficult than people give it credit for.
Right, but also in a conference where you cannibalize yourselves and like you basically go from 2 wins to 11, that's pretty impressive. But it seems like if any conference where it happens in the Big 12 more often than not. But still, Matt Rhule at the college ranks has been good wherever he's been. That is a fact. And with those coaches, like once you have that reputation, you do get a little bit longer of a leash. And even so, Matt Rhule, in a smaller sense, has been progressively better at Nebraska every year that he's been there. It's just taking a little bit longer. And I do think Nebraska has a little bit of unrealistic expectations for their football program because little bit of Michigan light syndrome. Like they didn't win a national championship for 25 years. They weren't the elite of the elite for a while. And Nebraska was the elite of the elite for a
Oh,
period of
yeah.
time. And those fans have been begging and demanding for them to get back to that level.
Great fan base, by the way. Great fan base, rabid fans, one of the loudest stadiums in the country. They deserve a winner. And can Matt Rhule deliver that? I'm not. This is a big game for them. Really big game for them. Do you have a pick? Michigan on the road -2.5.
Michigan by a billion. I think Michigan does win. I think they're going to open up the playbook. Now, my rose-colored glasses of seeing what Michigan did against Central, but it seemed like the playbook was way more creative. You can be more creative against an inferior opponent, but it was letting Bryce, rip it for the majority of that game, and he did well, and he also used his legs. And I think if he can use his legs against a team like Nebraska, that's going to be a very difficult offense to stop, especially with Justice Haynes being who he's been in the first 3 games of the year. Like it's like pick your poison, pick how you're going to get beat. And if Bryce Underwood is that dual threat, then very, very tough to do. And this will be Nebraska's toughest opponent to date this season. You get them at home, but
I think there's a good chance that Jayshon Barnum murders Dylan Raiola in this game. Nebraska's O-line, that kid's running around for his life half the time. And they haven't played anybody. I mean, they've run up the score in two of the three games that they have played thus far. But I mean, week one, they played a really close game against Cincinnati week one. Granted, at Cincinnati.
No, that was a neutral site. It was in Kansas City. You got Arrowhead.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, because Patrick Mahomes was a
And
whatever.
really it was a home game for Nebraska.
I look at it and I think there is a pathway for Michigan to get this done. The 2.5 really, really makes me think, like, do people want to bet Michigan that bad that it's 2.5? And like, I want to take Nebraska so bad, but or is it Vegas just saying like, no, please take Nebraska plus the points? I'm not entirely sure. I really would not touch this
Because
game. I truly wouldn't. If you made me pick it, if you made me pick, I think I'd take Nebraska plus the
think about
points.
it
I think
this
it's going to
way.
be a close game.
Think about it this way, though, because Michigan has already gone on the road in an environment that is somewhat similar to Nebraska's in Oklahoma,
True.
and they played terrible.
And looked bad.
They looked well. They played terrible, but like they were quote unquote in the game for the majority of the game. Like it got out of hand later on.
Yeah, their
However.
defense kept them in that game.
Correct. And I don't think the defense is going to be any less than they performed against Oklahoma,
And
and I think the offense
think
will be better.
talent wise, Oklahoma significantly better than Nebraska.
Yeah, Mateer, his
Yeah.
experience over Raiola's inexperience. Now, both good quarterbacks, I think that's very clear, but Mateer has been the guy for a while.
Listen, it's why I wouldn't touch it. It's why I wouldn't touch it. I don't feed it to me. Just let me watch. It's going to be a great game to watch. All right. Switching over, we're going to switch gears over to Illinois, Indiana. We're spending a little more time on these games just because there's really only two games in the Big Ten that are super worth getting into, and it's these two games. Illinois, Indiana. Listen, I'm going to give you the spread. I'm going to drop it like a hand grenade, okay, into your living room. You do with it what you please. Illinois travels to Indiana, 7:30 kick. Indiana favored by 5.5. You get the devil's number for this one. Listen, I told you, hand grenade. Here it is. You tell me.
This is a very interesting game and a game I want to watch as well. Mendoza, quarterback for IU, has been exceptional. I remember a quote last year when he was at Cal, like it was like, oh, like it's the best thing to just drive 80 yards with your boys and just win the game. And it's like, okay, like that's totally
Elite quote.
elite
Elite
quote. And
quote.
then
It was
it
great.
was awesome, but then it like kind of sucks that it's like, oh yeah, actually I'm out of here, deuces. But this is the age of college football that we live in.
My boys are no longer my boys. I'm
But
outie.
technically speaking, his brother is the backup quarterback at IU, who's been playing because IU's been continuing what they did from last year, just
Yeah,
pile
killing
driving
people.
opponents. I think this is solely going to be IU playing at home. Like, I think these are two very similar teams in the sense of like, their resumes probably will be the same throughout the entirety of this year, this Big Ten season. Cignetti has captured lightning in a bottle, and he's kept it. And at some point, do you have to say it's like, is he just riding the highs of transfer portal victories, or is he actually does he have a strategy that's working? This will be. The storyline behind this will be like the storyline of Bielema, who's been continuously building a competitor and kind of from the ground up, with this, a non-traditional football power, and then Cignetti, who just did it essentially overnight. The edge has to go to IU because it's at home. It's become a more difficult place to play and a beautiful stadium. We've talked about that
Oh
as
yeah.
well.
Well, we've been
We've
there.
been there multiple times, have we not? And it's always been like the stadium is awesome, but the fan engagement is terrible. But now,
Oh my word.
but now that,
The first time we went was Michigan schlubbed them. This was years ago. And it was just like, this is probably like 4 years ago now, something like that. And I mean, the stadium was half empty by halftime. And it was like, wait, people, this is still a game. It was still a game at halftime. And it was like, no, we know what's coming. See you later.
Now in the most recent game that we went to, like
Yeah,
the fans
that
have,
place was
it
rowdy.
was
That place was
rowdy. They have
rowdy. Yeah.
bought in, and they've really honestly
Yeah.
become
They're smoking those Signettis.
Signetti's baby. This will be a really fun
Yeah.
game to watch, because I think
Oh,
these
yeah.
two teams are a lot more similar. It's going to come down to who makes a mistake, and I think with both of these teams not necessarily playing great opponents thus far, who's gonna win the turnover battle, and whoever wins the turnover battle, I believe is gonna win this football game. I give the edge to Indiana simply because they're at home, and Cignetti doesn't lose at home, at least in the Indiana
Yeah,
area.
I two things are going to clash in this game. It's going to be the fact that Signetti doesn't lose at home, and Signetti doesn't beat really good teams. So one of those two things is going to come to an end, because they're playing a really good team in Illinois. We already talked about them earlier in the episode. I look at the way Luke Altmyer's playing. I look at the way Illinois' defense is playing. Not that IU's defense is playing bad. They've played nobody, like the nobodiest of nobodies. I mean, at least Illinois played Duke. At least Illinois dropped a bomb on a Duke team that's perceived to be okay, although they lost again last week. Bad, but they've played somebody with a pulse. And it was at Duke. They had to go to Duke to do it, and they destroyed them. I look at this for as a spot where big test for IU at home. Illinois got nothing to lose, it because they get to go. They're playing this game on the road. I give the edge. Now I'm talking about taking the points +5.5. I would take Illinois plus the points in this spot. It just, do I want to bet it? No, absolutely not. This is going to be a great game. Sit back, watch, soak in the whole thing, soak in all four quarters. It's going to be a fantastic football game. I think Brett Bielema finds a way to get his defense tuned to slow down that IU offense. And am I super sold on IU's defense? They've got an edge rusher kid. I can't remember his name, who's played really well thus far this year. Again, against nobody. But I think I would put my faith in Bielema that defensively he can scheme something up, keep this game close, keep it within the 5.5. I would take the 5.5 in this game. It's going to be a fantastic game. It really is. The people just buckle up, get ready to watch it, because it's a 7:30 kick. It's the best game kicking off for the night slate. Am I wrong to say that?
I don't think you are at all. I think it was a snub for College Game Day too. I think it's only like the I think the number of times that Indiana has hosted a ranked matchup as a ranked opponent is under 10.
Wow. Wow.
Or
That is
it's
disgusting.
like it's either under 10 or in the low teens. I'd have to find the stat, but it's not very often. So
That is absurd. I mean, the fact that the number isn't 50 is
well,
mind-boggling.
Indiana leads Division One in college football losses. Yeah.
Losses. Yes. Yeah, I do know that. All right. We'll transition over. We got some bigger games just in the grand scope of college football. So we'll do the big games, and then we'll pick our own at the end. You down for that? All right, cool. All right. We've got Texas Tech, Utah. Number 17 Texas Tech going to Utah. Utah 3.5 point favorites. This is a noon kick in Utah, so this is a morning kick in Utah. Interesting. Utah is just one of those teams when ranked opponents come in to play
The
them,
House of Horrors, dude.
you don't win. You
They
don't
put the clamp
win
on
there.
you.
You don't, and the spreads are always like super close, and then somehow, some way, Utah
Is it
wins.
Kyle Winningham? Is that the head coach name?
You mean
Yeah,
Winningham?
for real.
They don't lose at home. It's the reason he still has a
It's
job.
not that they don't lose at home. It's like they put you in a torture chamber and they suck the life
Yes.
out of you over there.
It's four quarters of absolute hell and misery, is what it
And for the
is.
fans too, because those are not fun games to watch. It's like
No.
it's like 17-10, or like in just the most
Oh,
miserable.
you get some. You get some games that are lightning in Utah.
Sure.
Like there's been some late night kicks that I've watched Utah playing, and it's like, whoa, this is
Not at
crazy.
10 a.m. though.
Yeah,
Which
that's.
I will say,
Yeah, what's the over under in this game?
Fox, like Fox's viewing, ex like the 4K at Fox, is exceptional,
Oh, chef's kiss.
and it looks so good at like the noon like slate.
Oh,
Or I think
the big noon kickoff game in 4K.
I remember watching the Nebraska Colorado game in Colorado, and that was either a 10 or an 11 a.m. local kick. And I don't think I've seen a more visually pleasing football game, albeit Colorado's landscape in their state. That's a stadium that I want to go visit, because that.
Number one game I've ever watched in 4K. And not because my team played in it. It was the most beautiful game I've ever watched. Michigan Alabama Rose Bowl.
Oh, well.
The sun setting in 4K, that stadium with the light trickling down,
It's the mountains. It's the mountains. It's the
cinema.
mountains at. And the
It
mountain.
was like I was watching a movie, but I was watching a football
Yeah, and I
game.
was pooping my pants anyway. But like any mountainous, like anything, add that into your football like sight lines. Oh, incredible. Beautiful.
All right, we tangented back on track. Utah -3.5.
We're just picking it.
Yep.
Until they give me a reason to not pick them, I'm gonna pick them, because you go to Utah, you get put in a body bag. So
Yeah.
I'll take Utah.
Yep. No disagreement here. I'm on the same page. All right. 3:30 kick. Auburn at Oklahoma. Number 22 Auburn travels to Oklahoma. This is now an SEC matchup. Don't forget, people. Oklahoma favored by 6.5 in this game. Look, I look at what Oklahoma has been able to do, and I am thoroughly impressed. Okay. And we know what that home environment is like. Again, you get the 3:30 kick. By the time it's fourth quarter, you're in the dark, and it's a night game environment, and place is going nuts. People are crazy. Really tough place to play. 6.5 is just like, I really want to take Oklahoma here. That number just feels like it passed that magical six, and I just can't quite get there. I'm gonna take Auburn plus the 6.5 in this one.
I don't think I can do that, solely for the fact that it seems like Auburn just always gets a pity ranking at this point of the year. They beat Baylor on the road in the first game of the year, but then they played South Alabama and then Ball State. So Auburn hasn't really played anybody. Oklahoma has looked impressive against basically everybody that they played against. And a lot of people were like, nah, Oklahoma's not going to be that good. Brent Venables is kind of on his way out. It's like, well, he's kind of proved.
He's got that defense. He's got the defense playing now. I mean, that's the one thing he hasn't been able to do since getting to Oklahoma is figure out the defense, and he's a defensive guy. You knew eventually he'd get it right. It looks like he's got it
And
right.
it doesn't seem like he has to worry too much about the offensive side of the ball either, because Mateer has been the guy for a while. I know he's a transfer in from Washington State. Like he was the entire reason Washington State was any amount of competitive at all last year.
Yeah.
I think at one point in the year they had, like, somebody was saying, like, oh, well, Washington State kind of figures some things out at the end of the year, they could have a dark horse shot at the playoff. And then, of course, it didn't happen because it was never going to happen. But I was impressed with what I saw throwing his body on the line. And then with all of the stars aligning, especially being at home, I can't pick against Oklahoma. Despite
you made a really good point. You made a really good point that, like, Auburn, you know, they get the pity ranking and then they fall off. That's kind of been the tale of both of these teams recently. So this is going to be a bit of a referendum game for both of these teams. And whoever does win this game has a pretty clear line of sight to the playoff. Agreed?
Oh, absolutely. I think
as one of those three or four teams that are going to get in from the SEC.
Well, and then if you are an SEC school that has a schedule that isn't Florida's, you're going to need all these SEC wins as much as possible. So you get a ranked win at home for Oklahoma, like, you have a fast track to get to the title game. And then, you know, if you're in the title game in the SEC, you're essentially already in the playoff. It doesn't even matter.
Yeah. All right. Disgusting spread here. Florida goes to Miami. Miami only favored by 7.5. We already, we talked about it earlier. We talked about Florida, the way that team has looked early on in the season. I don't get this spread. I don't get it at all. I mean, Miami. Like, I just want so badly to just, oh, yeah, of course it's going to be Miami. Over-under in this game is 51.5, so they think it's going to be more of like an NFL-ish style game, you know, with the final score being right around that, like, 25 each, kind of. I don't know. I don't buy it. I think Miami gets over 30 in this game. Florida, it just feels like they're headed towards head coach being fired territory. Give me Miami minus the 7.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Unless it's like recency bias, and maybe this is a horrible way to look at, especially picking games.
This does feel like a spot that Vegas is begging you to take Miami, by the way. Let me make that very clear.
Listen, there can't be a possible way, a possible scenario where Lagway plays as bad as he did the week before, can it? You get it coming in at home. USF didn't really care about that, but Gainesville is always a super tough place to
play. Oh, this is at Miami.
Oh, is that Miami?
Yeah.
Yikes. What?
Yeah.
How did I miss? Sorry, my allergies, guys. causing my brain to be a dumb idiot. That I want to change my pick so bad, but I don't. Know what? No. Nope. Not going to do it. I'm sticking with my gums.
Okay.
Lagway's not going to be as all terrible right as he was. It's a rivalry game. You just can't. You just absolutely can't, because then you're going to have some really uncomfortable conversations. Do you want just your entire team to give up and then have most of them transfer out at the end of the year, or do you fire your coach and then have your players transfer in the middle of the year?
Yeah. I mean, great question. Glad I don't have to answer it. Illinois, Indiana. I already said that I would take Illinois plus the 5.5. I don't know if you made a pick. Just make a pick on that one.
I said Indiana.
Indiana, yeah. Minus 5.5. Okay. Okay. All right. We got all those in there. Now we switch over to the you pick three portion of the picks.
Let me get a pick two. I mean three.
No. Yeah, three, exactly. We'll call it the pick three.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's a great name. Holy smokes.
Mr. Smart Guy over here.
That is such a great name. I love it. Alright. Look, I'm going to kick us off here because I know this is like, what do you mean you have like a pick in this game? But look, I do, and I like it. Okay, UNLV bad. Okay, traveling to Miami of Ohio, and they are favored by 2.5 on the road. Miami's going to win that game outright. Miami of Ohio will win that game outright. But I get to take them plus 2.5. Give me Miami of Ohio plus 2.5. That's my pick. That's my first pick. I'm just putting it out there. You do with it what you please,
Are
people. I
you gonna
love it.
stamp the mortal lock on that pick?
No, because nothing's a mortal lock. These numbers are insane and crazy things can happen, but I love Miami in this spot.
Interesting. Interesting.
What's your first pick?
Well, first pick, I don't know. Well, last week I picked games with ridiculous spreads,
Okay.
and I was quite successful.
Did you go 2-0 or 2-1 or 3-0?
I
Oh?
think in those picks I went 3-0. The one
Nice.
pick that I
Okay.
missed last week was USF,
Okay.
which I
Yeah.
was on the train. But you know, it was a really good week for me. And one of the teams that I picked was our beloved Purdue Boilers. I think that they got. I think they covered by like half a point or something like that. So, or they missed it, but I believe that they covered. I'd have to double check the episode, but Purdue travels to Notre Dame. Notre Dame inexplicably is ranked still after dropping their first two games of the season, albeit they were both ranked opponents, albeit they were both very good opponents, but they have not gotten a win yet. And they go into Notre Dame as a 25.5 point underdog. Purdue is not going to win this game, but
Shocker.
Purdue is nowhere near the team they were last year, and I mean that in the most positive sense. I believe that Notre Dame is going to continue to press a little bit. It's not going to be one of those situations where like the floodgates open, and it's like, oh, we're just gonna ride up the score, do whatever. I think Purdue takes advantage of a Notre Dame team that's kind of like, okay, we need to win this game, and they don't have the benefit of like a get right game against like a MAC school. They actually have to play technically speaking, an in-state rival in Purdue. Purdue's much better. They've taken strides forward, and I think they covered the spread. Not by much, but don't be surprised if it's a 21-point game.
Well, I'm going to switch my third pick to my second pick because my third pick was going to be Notre Dame minus 25 and a half against Purdue. So I'll just go ahead and put that on there right now. Perfect segue. So we are going head to head. I love Notre Dame in this spot. I think they need to show out in their 10 remaining games. Not only do they need to go undefeated, they need to show out to make the playoff. They should already be eliminated, but they're not going to be. They need to cover spreads. Marcus Freeman knows that they need to cover spreads. They are going to go out there and try to just demolish Purdue. And I think Notre Dame gets it done. I'm taking Notre Dame minus the points. So we're going head to head in a pick. How great is
Not great.
that?
Hate it.
I feel the exact opposite. I truly, truly do. I feel very much the opposite.
Listen, when I pick Purdue confidently on this podcast, I am more often right than I am wrong.
It is true. It is true. And in the picks, you've been known to be hot and cold, we'll say.
Yeah, put some respect on my name, Mr. Perfect. One week only.
Hey, 1 week only, but he had a perfect week, folks. And I think it was like 9-0. It was pretty crazy. All right, third pick. Listen, I figured why not? I'm gonna go ahead and pick the Apple Cup. Okay, there's a rivalry game happening this week.
Ooh, very fun.
I'll go ahead and pick it. Washington State is in a bad place. Washington gets to come off of a bye into this game. They are 20 and a half point favorites. Something about this just feels like they are going to put a bullet in this team. Washington State is coming off of getting eviscerated by North Texas, 59-10. By North
Listen,
Texas.
no joke, I'm not kidding when I say this. The All-American Conference, sleeper. They
Yeah,
got some good
hey.
ball clubs there.
I was debating between taking Washington and my other pick. The other game that I was thinking about putting in there was North Texas minus 2.5 against Army. So, hey, do with that what you will. I'm going with Washington. I think again, Washington State just has nothing left as a program. And a really good opportunity for Washington to come out and just kind of blast this team. That's my third pick. That's what I'm going with. What say you?
I got to give you two picks back to back. Well, if you're going one rivalry, I will go to the other, and I will go to the Civil War between Oregon and Oregon State. This is a ridiculous spread. This spread is 34 and a half points, but in case you haven't noticed, Oregon State is a dead football program right now. They got pummeled by Fresno State. Well, actually, they didn't get pummeled by Fresno State, but they got pummeled by
And
Cal at home.
wouldn't you say that what we've seen early on in college football so far this year is like in non-conference games, don't be afraid of those huge numbers, right? Like you're like you see like 20 or a three, God forbid, and you're like, I can't give 30 points. Ask Central Michigan how that went last week against Michigan. I think they doubled the spread in that game. So these teams get killed, people, killed. So listen to what Corey's saying.
Yeah, Oregon State is a dead football program, at least for right now. Had Cal at home and they did not look good. Had Fresno State at home and then they lost to them. And then they went to Texas Tech and they also did not look good there. I get it, it's a rivalry game, but Oregon is the Death Star right now. And Oregon State is like a very, very small moon. And I think that this is just going to stay. And also, in a rivalry game, there's nothing better than just kicking little bro when they're down, especially in the Michigan National Championship run. Like, it was the first time in a long time that I was, like, not afraid of that game, especially after the first drive. And then it was 40. Like, they demoralized those guys, and it felt awesome. And then you can just hang that over them for years to come. That spread is 34 and a half, and if it's anything like the other OSU that they played, I'd expect them to cover that spread by at least 10 more points. The third game that I will pick here.
I just want to say real quick, I like the Oregon pick.
Thank you.
Good job and great cap as well. Great cap.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ethan, they're back. The Calgarithm is back. The woke agenda is back. Maybe one of the best and underrated Twitter viral sensations was ca the Cal Bears and their "you just lost to the woke agenda" meme raids that you see. Well, guess what? They have a shiny, brand new five-star quarterback who's been playing some pretty good ball. And now they get to take their talents to San Diego State. Lovely. Lovely at the end of September. Lovely weather down in San Diego. Guess it's a little bit of an in-state rivalry post-conferences, but I think Cal goes in there as a 12.5 point favorite. I don't think it's out of the question for them to win by 14. That San Diego State's only played two games this year, and they're 1-1, and one of those losses is to Washington State.
I wouldn't be surprised if this number closes closer to like 15 and a half, 13 and a half at least. It moves a full point. Get it as quick as you can,
Correct.
I would say.
Correct. Because any team that loses to Washington State,
Yikes.
yikes. Big,
Big
big,
yikes.
big
Couldn't
yikes.
be North Texas.
Take Cal.
North Texas is kind of putting some bullets in
No,
people.
I'm telling you, the all watch out for the. You have Tulane putting up some impressive wins. You have North
Did they lose already?
Tulane, they're 3-0, and they play Ole Miss. That might be a
Okay.
that's a bonus game. That's what Ole Miss and Tulane, they
Yeah.
did a home and home, and Ole Miss
Yep.
barely escaped last year.
Yep.
Tulane's got this is your bonus pick. We got time for one more pick, and this is the game that we're picking. Tulane got Jake Retzlaff from BYU because he decided to break their honor code and sleep with a woman. So that's why he was not allowed to stay at Brigham Young University. But anyway,
Wait, he got kicked out for laying pipe?
hey, easy. This is a family show. Yes, he did. Cannot confirm nor deny, but yes, he did. Tulane traveled
The Tulane quarterback?
Jake Retzlaff, the BY Jew, as he was called, and made T-shirts for.
Oh.
A lot of people are just giving Ole Miss the victory right off the rip. This spread, though, says a little bit otherwise. This is an 11.5 point spread, and this was a very, very close game at Tulane last year. 3:30 kick, so it will be under the lights at some point.
Oh, traveling to an SEC school is just tough,
It
man.
is tough,
That's
but that's
tough.
a weird number, Ethan.
And Ole Miss is not a place you want to play.
But that's a weird number.
It is a weird number. 11 and a half. It kind of feels like, what do you mean? I have to pick whether they're going to win or lose by 12. Very interesting.
Because you get experience, you get an experienced quarterback with Retzlaff, and then Ole Miss's quarterback is the guy from Ferris State who won two national championships at the FCS level. Or Division Two, excuse me.
Yeah.
And he seems to be playing really well.
Yeah, but they can't play defense.
So are we going to get it?
Ole Miss.
The over-under for this
Ole Miss.
game is 61.5 points. Are we going to see a shootout?
Yeah, I would absolutely take the over. I mean, the game against Arkansas last week was 41 to 35. There were 76 points scored in that game. The week before that, they played Kentucky. It was 30 to 23. They don't stop anybody. And I got news for you. Tulane's offense is better than Kentucky.
Yoo-hoo.
Tulane's offense is probably better than Arkansas. All right, you talked me into it. Give me the green wave.
Yeah, green
What a
wave,
sick logo.
baby.
What an absolutely disgusting
What an
logo.
insane color scheme, too. Green and
Yeah.
baby blue.
That's going to be a no defense game. I would look, they go high, we go higher, over 61 and a half,
That's all I got.
which normally you don't want to do. Normally you do not want to take the team getting points and the over. Not a good combo. If the over hits, typically the team who was favored covers. But yeah, give me Tulane. All right. That's the way to end it, baby. Those are the picks. That's the episode. Folks, we love you. We thank you for listening. I think we were pretty timely. We got everything in there. Got everything talked about. Any last words from you, Senior Corey? Take us to church.
Take you to church? I don't think I can do that. I'm off the clock right now. This is the time of year where you have every excuse to sit down on your couch and watch nothing but college football all day long. And I'll tell you this, I will tell you this. You feel much better about yourself sitting down on a Saturday watching football all day long than you do on a Sunday. So spend the time, take the time, do the work, and just enjoy.